This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Welcome back to Heart and Soul on Qatar Foundation Radio. You're joining me, Lauren Booth, for today's dose of spiritual medicine. Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, called prayer the pillar of religion. No fundamental element of Islam has been stressed as much as prayer in the Holy Quran, where Allah the Almighty mentions it in more than 700 verses of the Holy Text. Among those that define its role in the religion of Islam are worship at fixed hours hath been enjoined on the believers. Be guardians of your prayers and of the midmost prayer. That's the midday prayer, the prayer around midday. Well, to explore the inner and outer dimensions of this essential act, we are honoured to welcome back Dr. Mahmoud Chandia. He's senior lecturer and programme leader of Islamic studies at the University of Central Lancashire. Dr. Chandia, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon you.
Thank you very much. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon you and all your listeners too. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam and ameen. Doctor, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was known to yearn for the moment when prayer would be announced by his dear companion Bilal. It was done in the same way that we hear today, that adhan. But how did that call to prayer come about? Can we talk a little bit about that? And how is something that so regularly impacts on the business of daily life, how is it a coolness of the eyes when we have to break off from our daily lives to do this? So let's discover, if we can, how did the call to prayer come about?
Well, of course, prior to Islam, other faiths had different ways of calling devotees to a devotional action. Across the world, even today, we will find sometimes in the United Kingdom, for example, where I am based, the church bell can be heard. And that can be seen as a form of calling the devotees to a devotional action or towards the church. And in many different countries, individuals have different practices. So the conscious debate of how can we alert the human being that there are particular times in the diary of a human being where the claim of the all superior being is much greater than anything that the human being may well be doing at that particular time? So in Islam, the agreement came that the words of calling to Allah should be the actual words that are used to alert this devotee that it is a time for prayer, where other actions and undertakings and responsibilities should stop, because the individual has a more higher responsibility to fulfill. So we have, within Islamic discourse, of course, the words of the adhan that were agreed upon. And yes, across Muslim lands, there may well be a disagreement of how many times a particular phrase is to be chanted in calling the believer to prayer, whether one can publicly announce the call to prayer, referred to as an adhan, an announcement, or whether one needs to do it within the confines of the masjid without it disturbing the neighborhood. So for the United Kingdom, for example, some local authorities have allowed the words of the call to prayer, which will probably take 3 to 4 minutes to complete, to be publicized through a loudspeaker system during daylight hours. And other local authorities have not allowed this. So the words of the adhan are actually incorporating a reminder of that Allah is the greatest. And given that the call is Allah is the greatest, anything else and everything else that the human being at that particular time that may be engaged in needs to stop. Because a superior being who has more claim than anybody, by virtue of being a creator, is calling you. So the words of the Adhan, for example, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, which is repeatedly said, Allah is the greatest, Allah is the greatest. It's an absolute affirmation that does not entertain any doubt at all. And Akbar, the greatest, is the superlative form in the Arabic language. Does not entertain any other notion of any other thing being anywhere in parlor. And the muazzin or the caller will then further go on to say, I testify that there is no deity worthy of worship, and Muhammad, peace be upon him, is the messenger of Allah. So the person calling others to prayer is affirming his own testimony, shahada, at that particular time, and calling everybody to come to prayer. And prayer is then described, come to success. Success, of course, is not only temporal success, it is eternal success. And coming to success, as you quite rightly alluded to earlier on, that this individual, through engaging in this form of spiritual meditation, where the intellect, where the soul, where the body combines to unite in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
MashaAllah. I wanted to add to this that the adhan is being heard by people of all different communities across the Middle East, across Malaysia right now. And to some people, it when you don't know the words, it sounds like beautiful music, but it's always very moving. There are many travellers to Muslim lands who have been brought to Islam because of that incredible call, and it's beautiful to know the meanings now as well, that come to success, hayya la salah, come to eternal success, and Allahu Akbar not being, as it's been misused, to introduce a violent purpose. It's not that. It is a reminder that God is greater than what you're doing now. Take that break, put everything, all the worldly stuff that you're doing, it's unimportant, come and praise God. And it is praising God, isn't it? Because there is a confusion, I think, between this understanding of what the word salah means, because Orientalists perhaps have translated it as prayer. Can you just take us down that road a second?
Well, literally, the word salah in the Arabic language would refer to supplication. And the azan or the prayer is a form of supplication. And what this devotee chants during the words of the prayer or the azan, for example, it is a form of supplication and seeking atonement for one's misgivings and shortcomings. So, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest, Allah is the greatest. So there's a glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, the Most Majestic, and other forms that I testify that there is no worthy of word, non worthy of worship except Allah, and Muhammad, peace be upon him, is his messenger. This then goes on to come to prayer, come to success, and in the morning prayer, of course, there will be a reminder, prayer is better than sleep. As-salatu khayrun min an-nawm. And the adhan is completed by once again reaffirming, Allah is the greatest, Allah is the greatest, there is no God except Allah. Now, across the Middle East, so for example, individuals who may well have traveled to Turkey or Dubai or Qatar, for example, may well hear the adhan across the loudspeakers, chanted out through minarets, and the world may stop for them as well. And yes, it may well appear to be musical notes or chants that have some kind of a rhythmic prose to it, and may well be providing a very spiritual enlightenment. Well, for the Muslim mind, of course, the word of Allah does not go without having an impact. The word Allah itself is a powerful word. And the idea that coming to prayer is coming to success. And whereas across the Middle East, people may stop their businesses, stop their classes, stop their journeys to shopping or whatever, wherever they may well be in the nearest locality, the nearest place of prayer, masjid, they will stop and go and fulfill their duty to perform the prayer. Because they have a reminder, there is no excuse that I forgot or I was diverted to other things. There is a constant reminder that this is a duty upon the individual of a mature age that needs fulfilling.
Thank you, Sheikh. We're going to take a break and consider your beautiful guidance, and we'll be back in a moment after this reminder from a beloved regular visitor to Qatar, Mufti Menk.
Let's look from a purely worldly aspect. How does Salah bless you? How is Salah blessing you from a worldly aspect? Now, if you go to the worldly benefit, Salah is spaced out in such a beautiful way. Such a beautiful way. One, early in the morning, just before the sun rises. So you are up. As a Muslim, you are up. The non-Muslim doctors tell you early to bed, early to rise. Makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. That's an English saying. So we are taught early to bed and early to rise is your duty as a Muslim. Allah automatically wants to make you healthy, wealthy, and wise. Subhanallah. For free. If you are going to live Islam, what time will you get up? Can you be a person who's going to get up 11 in the morning when everyone's already at work? No. If you're a Muslim, one of the blessings of Salah is you are up on time. When you're up on time, you get your children up on time. Mashallah, you read your Fajr Salah. You might sit for a while with your Quran. You might say a few good words to your family members. And then you probably will have breakfast together, something light, your tea, whatever you have together. Today the world is weeping and crying because families are disintegrating. Everyone is on his own computer, locked in his own room. No one talks to each other. Father goes to work early morning, mother's gone somewhere else, children gone to school, and you know the house is now split. You're a Muslim, you get up early, mashallah, you spend the beginning of the day with Allah and then with your family. You've had the cup of tea, even if it took you 5 minutes. The blessing of Salah is you will see your children. How are you, my darling? How are you doing, my little boy, my little daughter? I really love you. Today you're going, make a dua for me. Let me make a dua for you. This is a beautiful environment in a Muslim home, which is lost in a lot of homes. It's lost. Our children are brought up by the television and the computer because we don't have time for them. One meal with your child is priceless. People really are suffering because they don't spend time with their children. So the children don't know what's happening in the world. But you get up in the morning, inshallah, one of the blessings of Salah, you will see your children off. Inshallah, whether they go to school and whatever happens. What time is Salat al-Dhuhr? Just after the zenith, you know? Just after the zenith, when the sun is right at the top, just after it tilts off, is Salat al-Dhuhr. Amazing how the world has kept that time as lunch hour. Have you noticed that? Lunch hour. So people say, when is lunch hour? You say, similar to the time of Dhuhr. Amazing. Look at a Muslim. Allah did not inconvenience you. From the morning right up to that time, there are some voluntary prayers, but there are no compulsory prayers. So when you get to Allah's, meaning when you get to a higher level that Allah would like you, you know, to achieve more and more, you can offer voluntary prayers. But if you have not yet got to that level, at least you know that, you know what? It is now midday. Let me do something. What do? You make wudu. Wudu is ablution. This ablution with water, what does it do for you? Your face is washed. Your hands are washed. Your feet are washed. You are fresh. You have wiped your head and so on. You are feeling good. That medically is proven to rejuvenate the individual at midday, just like it does at any other time. Rejuvenate you. You're woken up. You are refreshed again. Amazing. You've washed your face with cold water. We are looking at health blessings of Salah.
وترقصت في بهجة ودلال تروي جمالا دائعا من حسنه صاغ البيان عجائب الأقوال باح الطيور السعد بالأفضال.
You're listening to Heart and Soul on Qatar Foundation Radio with me, Lauren Booth. Sharing these gems of knowledge with us today is Dr. Chandia from the United Kingdom. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
We're talking about salah, this prayer, this submission today, this coming to success, this leaving aside of worldly, we say in Arabic, dunya affairs. And I wonder how that breaks into our lives practically. People who are not following the Muslim faith, who follow other traditions, must watch. And it can seem quite amazing when you go to, say, Saudi, and you'll see a market stall or indeed a business in a shopping mall shut up, locked up, and they can do that five times a day. Doctor, we all have diaries these days because we're so busy with our physical lives. We have expectations of others. We place those upon ourselves without reason. Yet prayer, the pillar that holds our spiritual lives together, is often put on our B list as less important, a non-urgent activity that's left or, you know, may Allah forgive us if we ever fail, forgotten. How do we overcome the contemporary challenges and adhere to punctuality? How do Muslims do this?
Well, the prayer itself, the Quran, reminds the Muslim that the prayer is subject to fixed hours. And these fixed hours means that there are certain parameters of time within which the prayer needs to be performed. If that particular parameter of time has lapsed, then the devotee still needs to make up that shortfall of prayer. That duty will always hang on his or her head to perform. But the time, the prayer itself is a very good lesson in time management and disciplining oneself to time. So your reference to being put onto the B list, it's a question of priorities. We are constantly challenged by managing different priorities. What is the priority here? Is the priority my daily routine of mundane activities, whether it be attending work, school, college, undertaking any other normal day-to-day life responsibility and priority? Or is it my priority of working myself up to meeting my Creator and meeting Him in a sense where I have fulfilled my duties that were upon me, upon my shoulders, and I need to bear that responsibility to? So this is first and foremost a mindset issue of how do we manage different sets of priorities and what is the priority? This is one concept that we need to understand. The prayer punctuates the day at different times: early morning, midday, early evening, late evening, and at night. At different times, these are constant reminders. Five reminders a day that this human being has of time management, of a constant reminder, of accountability in front of the Creator. And once this individual is prepared by undertaking ablution and prepared to stand in front of his or her Creator, one realizes the idea that the salah, that the Prophet, peace be upon him, has said, is the coolness of a believer's eyes. He said, coolness of my eyes. And this is an engagement, a spiritual engagement with the Creator, where the human being is actually reciting the words of the Creator in front of the Creator. This is this spiritual bonding.
Sure.
So it's important to understand that the time itself, and nowadays people pay thousands of pounds and dollars to learn how to manage time. The prayer itself provides an absolute wonderful lesson of time management. It also provides a very good lesson in disciplining oneself according to time, sleeping pattern, waking up early morning, and in the United Kingdom and northern countries, it can be challenging to wake up early morning. So, for example, the morning prayer of Fajr at the moment is 4:30, because sunrise is around about 5 o'clock. That can be challenging to wake up, given that the night prayer will be about 10:30, moving on to 11 o'clock. So the night is small, short. Nevertheless, this driving force of time management, of standing in front of the Creator, pleasing one's Creator, is driving this individual to break the day and fulfill this religious requirement.
Jazakallah khair. Thank you, Sheikh. And there's one element that we haven't spoken about yet, Sheikh, and it's to do with the togetherness. This unity in the lines, these ranks that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has talked about. Unite ourselves, stand in ranks. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, don't leave any space between your shoulders. And the poor man next to the wealthy man. In brief, Sheikh, why is this so fundamentally important?
Well, if we go back to pre-Islamic times, where the Middle East was an example of perhaps the old concept of the Wild West, that everybody was at the throat of the other person. The prayer established very early on in the development of Muslim society a sense of togetherness and unity, because 5 times a day, a Muslim brother, a Muslim sister were coming together in rows in front of their Creator, and the most able to lead the prayers would lead the prayer. This did not differentiate between your accent, your ability to be more eloquent, your ability to express your affluence, or your inability to express your affluence. It was not a question of rich and poor. It was not a question of who had the best clothes, who did not have the best clothes. In front of your Creator, the lesson was of equality. Within this diversity, everybody is equal, except the one who is higher in spiritual rank. Mm. Now, 5 times a day, this notion of equality, unity, togetherness, cohesiveness, one cohesive body across the globe was instilled and imbued within the Muslim community very early on. And this is one of the ways how the Prophet, peace be upon him, changed a very disunited, fragmented Middle East into a very united, cohesive Middle East within the 23-year period, lunar period of his prophecy.
Jazakallah khair, Sheikh. It's been an absolute honour speaking to you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala count us amongst those who remember him often, and that we be remembered in a greater gathering in the heavenly realm. The producer for this series is Ihab Al-Sheikh. You've been listening to Heart and Soul. Until tomorrow, assalamu alaikum.